Joining us in the studio is Daily Telegraph Rugby League reporter Dean Bulldog Ritchie. G'day, Dean.
Good morning, Laurie. Good morning, TK.
On the back page of your paper today, Tyrone Peachey has indicated that he doesn't want to move from Sydney to go to the Gold Coast. Of course, he signed a three-year deal earlier this season. What's the likelihood of him staying in Sydney and not honouring that deal?
Well, it was a very confusing day yesterday, Laurie. He's fronted up at Penrith Media Opportunity and spoken to several journalists where he indicated that he may want to leave. It's then gone viral. It's all over social media. And then reporters have gone back to him later in the day and he said, I don't know where this misinformation is coming from. It was actually straight out of Tyrone's mouth about 3 hours earlier. So no one quite knows what's going on with Tyrone. Quite clearly, he's told his manager, though, to see if they can renege on the Titans deal. The Titans copped a bit of flack over the DCE decision to let him return to Manly. Yeah. So this time they've said, we're playing hardball. If you don't want to play, you're on the sidelines. It's as simple as that. It will take a club to forcefully come out one day and say, you know what? We're not letting you out. You are going to either come here and either play or sit on the sidelines. But as Laurie said before, I heard him, can you afford to have $1.5 million of your salary cap playing Group AD?
Is it because he wants to stay in Sydney or is it because he wants more money?
I think it's because he wants to stay in Sydney. He's built a house in Penrith, which is fine. But again, I'm not quite sure why he would want to build a house when you're on the prowl for a new club. So it sounds like now that Penrith clearly don't have the money to re-sign him. They've moved on. The Titans, of course, have moulded their roster and their salary cap around Tyrone Peachey. Look, there are no winners here, except maybe the West Tigers, who have the light bulb moment last night's gone off and they've said, let's start having a look at Tyrone Peachey.
What about a Parramatta club or something like that? I mean, for many other clubs, he's sort of like, he's not quite your marquee player, but he's close enough to a marquee player. But for Penrith, he's not that sort of status.
No, but if the Gold Coast Titans were looking to do a deal, I think they would look to do the deal with Penrith rather than allowing him to renege on the deal and then go to another club.
Correct.
I think they'd be more likely to release him back to his club.
But they can't
let
afford
him,
Laurie.
Well, I know. And that's what I'm saying. And I think at the time when Tyrone signed, he obviously knew that, you know, his house was getting built.
He was comfortable in the
decision, and now he's decided, for whatever reason, that he doesn't want to go. And if I'm the Gold Coast Titans, and I can understand it, if once you get it attached to an area, you want to stay, but he signed a legally binding contract, and I would, if I was the Titans, make him play.
Could Graham Annesley pick up the phone this morning and ring Gus and say, we'll let him stay, but we want compensation?
Well, Graham's in a difficult position.
He's leaving.
He's leaving, and he's going to the NRL. And if you go to the NRL and you're second in charge, you want players to be honouring their deals, and you want...
You know what? I think it'll all work out fine. I think he'll go to the Gold Coast. It's big chocolates up there for him. And they've got to take their stance. From my memory, the rule got changed because of Daly Cherry Evans, right?
Correct.
So this is not like Daly Cherry Evans.
It was more the perception from the Titans.
Sure.
That's what they had.
Same with the Canberra Raiders.
Irrits about.
The Canberra Raiders can't afford, with the backflips that happened to them, they can't afford blokes to agree and then go, nah, you know what? We're not going now.
The players have the upper hand, don't they, guys, in some way?
If they don't want to go,
I'm not going. You can't force me. I guess you can through the courts if you have to, but no one wants to go down that path. But simply saying, I don't want to go, I don't want to play for your club, I'm not interested, you're wasting your money on me in your salary cap.
Yeah.
They win.
Depends.
They just hold out and they win.
Yeah, it depends what the argument and the reasons for not wanting to go are.
Well, just saying your family doesn't want to go, is that good enough?
Well, if they're just wanting to stay in the area, no, I don't find that good enough. But if there's a family illness, for instance, I would say that is a good reason to renege on a deal. If you're someone in your family was sick and you wanted to stay close by and look after them, I can totally understand.
But, Laurie, you can't have a list of do's and don'ts to make excuses for getting out of a contract. Yeah, on the left-hand side, here's the do's and here's the don'ts.
No.
So they'd all go to the do's, wouldn't they?
Well, but I mean, what I'm saying
is... It's like in England, they say homesick.
They use that every week. I'm not saying homesick. I mean, if someone is seriously ill in your family...
Well, of course.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We're not unreasonable, Laurie.
I can understand people wanting to stay, all right? But when they've signed the contract and they realise at the end that, I might have rushed into this or I want a bit more money or whatever the case might be, bad luck.
Well, the clubs get rid of the players very quickly and the clubs get bagged for that. This is the reverse.
Yeah, they only get rid of them if they pay their contract or they've got to work out a deal. They just don't sack them. They do pay them. Please ask Bulldog with the Eels, will the Eels sack Brad Arthur if they do? Any whispers for potential coaches? Old Magpie from Tamworth.
I think Brad Arthur's got for about 6 to 8 weeks next year. I think if he's got them rolling along reasonably well, they won't rock the boat. He's a good coach. I really respected the way Brad Arthur handled this year. He fronted up every week.
And last year.
He was a man's man. He didn't duck. He didn't hide. No. He took his share of the responsibility. And I think he won a lot of friends and followers for that. However, that doesn't give you competition points. He needs to start well next year. Otherwise, the pressure will really start to become suffocating.
We love conspiracy theories on this program, Bulldog. Someone has texted in. They haven't put a name to it. Can you ask Bulldog what is Garth Brennan's contract? I've heard Garth is on his way back to the vacant Penrith job, and that's why Tyrone doesn't want to go.
Yeah, that rumour has been around for about 5 days now, the Garth Brennan back to Penrith rumour. I still think Gus is going to go back to Cleary. I think there's no doubt in the world that it might get snuck through. Funnily enough, maybe on the first Tuesday in November.
Melbourne Cup Day.
Something like that, when everyone's taken their eye off the ball. I still think it will happen. But look, let's give Seraldo a go. He might win this weekend. Suddenly, he's one game from a grand final. It's very hard to get rid of a bloke that successful. Having said that, Gus got rid of Hook.
We're talking Penrith.
Yeah, Gus doesn't care, does he?
Well, Ivan was tired last time he was coaching out there.
He said, no, I'm not. Gus said, yes, you are.
Plus, Gus will be watching the Melbourne Cup anyway, so he'll be more interested in the Melbourne. He'd be more interested in the Melbourne Cup. Yeah. Jeez, this was a schmozzle, the Manly predicament. We use schmozzle and Manly a lot. Unfortunately, Trent Barrett's gone, effectively. Still there for another year, contract-wise, but it'll get worked out somehow. It's just a matter of... It's going to be lawyers at 10 paces.
Yeah, I hope this doesn't go to court, TK, but I'm starting to think that it will. The Monday after their final game, Trent turned up to Narrabeen. He went through the reviews with the players. This was before they had their Mad Monday. So he did his responsibilities right up until the end.
Yeah, sure.
He's now on a break, as is the whole club is. But look, if they can't work it out between now and November, first week there when they return, Trent Barrett will turn back up. The Pens are adamant this time that they are not going to pay Trent Barrett a cent. They say he walked away. They offered him a contract. He accepted it. If he wants to walk, he can walk. The problem is the clause in the contract said, you have to give a year's notice, which means Trent Barrett, even though he's walked away, is still in charge until July next year, which, of course, is untenable. You can't have a coach leaving in July. So I think the Pens are going to have to pay him out at least until July next year, sort it out, because the new coach, whoever it may be, has to know within the next 2 weeks. He has to know.
And is John Cartwright still the favourite?
He is, as far as I understand, Laurie. I don't know what approaches have been made formally yet by Manly. I'm understanding that until the Barrett situation is fixed, they're not making too many formal approaches because they want to get one disaster sorted out before they can sort of move forward.
Right. And what do you think Trent will do?
I don't know. I would love to know what he's doing. I would love to know whether there's a story behind the Trent Barrett situation. Mm-hmm. I can't believe he would just walk away without a club to go to.
Yeah.
But where would he go? Paul McGregor last week ended any doubt that he'll be coaching next year at St George Illawarra.
One win.
But that's all it took, TK, almost, wasn't it? He's now into week two of the season.
That's not fair on
it's
Paul.
It's a big pass.
They were in the top four the entire year but one round. So
I had a quick beer with Baz on Monday at a charity golf day. And, I didn't want to get right into it with him and just asked him how he was going and, how it's all playing out. But one thing that he did say to me that struck a chord... at the end of last season, he wasn't happy with some of the things that were going on as well. So it wasn't just all of a sudden 3 months ago he's decided to pull the pin.
So is the coach calling the shots at
Manly? He was undecided last year whether he was going to continue.
He signed an extension.
Yeah, but that was when?
After last year.
June. Yeah, but this is at the end of last season.
So he signed a contract in June and then he's disgruntled by September.
Yeah, because he thought that things would change and things would be put in place. And his argument is that that never happened.
I still think, Laurie, let's be fair, Dinkum, here. If you were in charge and that happened, would you just walk away? And I'm not asking you to talk for Trent Barrett. I'm asking you to talk for Laurie Daly.
Oh, depend. Unless you know the circumstances, it's hard to say. But on face value, no, I wouldn't. I would honour it. All right? I would honour my contract. But I don't know what's taken place.
Yeah, how bad it was.
Yeah, and I don't know the inner workings of the Manly club, and I don't know who's pulling the strings and what's going on behind the scenes. But he obviously feels as though he cannot continue to work in that environment, and that's why he's decided that he wants to leave. And we've discussed on this program, it doesn't paint Trent in a good fashion, in a good light, and it doesn't make Manly look great as well. But unless you know the details of what's happening, it's very difficult to give you that response.
It'll work out like this. They'll make Trent stay as long as it doesn't cost them, if it costs them money. If they can get rid of Trent, compensate him, that's the difference between his contract and what they've got to pay Cartwright to then coach, so it hasn't cost them a cent because they can't continue to bleed money.
The thing is, Ticker, you added
but
up.
I've got confidence that the Pens will make the right decision because I think that they will take the club forward and they are the owners of the Manly club. And it's pretty difficult when you're working in an environment where the head coach and the owner are not getting on. Is it? You imagine working for News Limited and you're not getting on with...
Buzz.
Morrissey.
Great bloke.
Great bloke. We've got to take a break.
It's difficult.
We've got to get to a break.
Yep, sorry.
No, you're right.
Shush,
no,
Laurie.
It is difficult. No, not shush.
Sorry.
We'll just give a quick update on the
traffic. No, see, that's what I do when my wife says, Laurie, I say sorry.
Petey Beattie is the new chairman of the Australian Rugby League and the commission. Here's what he had to say last night on NRL on Fox regarding what is expansion in the game. Will there be any expansion in the game?
I mean, some people say there are too many clubs in New South Wales. The reality is that's not going to change unless one of them fall over. Under the funding agreement now, they're funded more than the salary cap, as you're aware.
Yeah.
But I've said to the clubs, and I said that today at this meeting, and every chair and CEO knows this, if a club falls over, we're not going to rescue them again. That is then a potential to move that club somewhere else, to Queensland or to Perth or somewhere else. Our problem is in the media deal, it may well be that our media partners, including Fox as well as Nine, they may not want any more than 16 teams. So we've got to look at how we can do that. This is sensitive negotiations with our media partners,
and
that's
it.
There he is, Chairman of the Commission, Peter Beattie, talking about the possibility of expansion. Do you think the game has a plan for expansion in the next 5 years?
No. Quite clearly evident last night. Peter Beattie said that we may revisit it when this current TV deal finishes in 2023. But there's also no plan, Laurie, for the international game. There's not much money in the bank. The NRL's got some problems. I have to question whether Peter Beattie is the right bloke to take the game forward. I just think his lack of knowledge about rugby league, his lack of knowledge about the traditions and the history and the culture of the game, is an issue for all rugby league fans.
Having said that, it's not the chairman's job to come up with a strategic plan.
Well, it's up to everybody. But he is the chairman.
It's up to the
commission.
Well, the commission, but on the recommendation of the CEO.
Oh, correct.
That's how it operates, doesn't it?
The CEO answers to the commission.
And they come up with their strategic plan and deliver it to the commission to have a look at.
What is the strategic plan?
Do we have one?
Well, no.
There's a lot of things wrong with that statement. The statement is, I want the game to go to the broadcasters until this next broadcast deal, the competition's going to look like this. Let's make it work. It's not for the broadcasters to come back to them and say, no, you know, we'll formulate how the competition looks. You take, this is how we're taking the game forward. This is how the game's going to look in 20 years, which means we've got to get started now, right? Not wait for clubs to fall over. What sort of malarkey is that? Saying our plan for the game is when clubs are financially mismanaged so badly that they fall over, we'll then move forward.
Well, that's reactive rather than proactive.
Can you imagine that?
But I couldn't believe
going
last
forward
night.
And
but
saying
is the structure of the commission right? Should the structure of the commission be like the AFL, where they have total say over how the game is run?
How
Whereas
they go.
In here, in rugby league, if the commission want to make a decision and they get the majority of clubs offside, well, they're no longer a commissioner. They're voted out. So the clubs still have all the power.
You've answered
your
own question.
And the states have all the power.
There you go. I couldn't believe
if we're looking to blame anyone about the future and the strategic plan, you need clubs on side, you need the commissioners on side. Otherwise, we'll just keep going around in circles. So someone at some point has to go, you know what? Well, this has got to change.
When he said the broadcasters may not like it, it's not up to them to tell the NRL what they're doing. TK said that a minute ago. I'm probably parroting him a little bit here. But it's up to the NRL to tell the broadcasters, this is what we're doing. You have to engage in
work.
The broadcasters.
Let's make it work.
And you have to work together. But that you tell them, they don't tell you.
No. Yeah. Well, for instance, though. If they're
That's not leadership.
No, well, if they're only dealing with Fox and Channel 9 about how they see the game in the next 5 years and whether they want expansion or not, and I do, I have a show with Channel 10, so I'll mention Channel 10, for instance. So,
anybody. You can mention Google, Telstra, but, Twitter, it could be shown anyway.
Yeah. What happens if Channel 10, I'm saying them because they haven't got a major sport.
Correct.
So they could have money to be able to spend on the game, and they might want expansion. So why wouldn't you be talking to, you know, Channel 10 or Google or whoever just to try and see what their thoughts?
Well, it's going to be interesting how the commission plays out, because Peter Volandis, and you know, he's quoted in what he's done for the racing industry in this state has been outstanding, but he's always said, if you're not moving forward, you're going backwards. And that's my concern for the commission. It's my concern for rugby league overall. It's another show. I understand that. We won't get into it. But how is it moving forward?
So I reckon Pete,
how do we go forward
up
from
to
here?
The clubs. And I reckon he's the hope.
He should be the chairman.
He's the hope of the side.
Well, he's got to be chairman. Peter Volandis has got to be chairman.
Because he would stand up and make the best decisions in the game.
If you're not moving forward, you're going backwards. And how are we moving forward?
But it's hard at the moment, TK, because, as I said, if you make decisions and the club don't like you, well, you're no longer there.
It's going to be fascinating. We've a couple of really quick ones. Tom Trbojevic.
Yeah, TK, cheekbone injury. Looks as if he'll now miss those October tests against New Zealand and Tonga. So that would leave a fair bit of depth there. You think Tedesco would be fullback. Tommy T would have been on the wing, Loz, you would imagine. But they got Gagai, Holmes and Addo Carr. So, but yeah, certainly cheekbone surgery for Tommy T, and he will miss those two tests in October.
And a quick one, Newcastle.
Yeah, they're hunting for three. Tevita Pengai Jr., they've offered him the most money of all clubs. I don't think he'll go there, but the contract, I'm understanding, is huge. Mason Lino, they're looking at him, the young Warriors 5'8", he's a good player. And CSI Vave, the bloke who was at Manly, went to Parramatta, big body. He's the kind of player Nathan Brown wants.
Dean Ritchie from The Telegraph, thank you very much.
Thank you.